Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Pal, welcome everyone to another episode of the A-Side Live Chat. I am, of course, your host, Jose Youngs of MAFighting.com. You may notice we are 35 minutes later than usual, and that is because I was at UFC Fight Island 6 Media Day, and for whatever reason, actually I know the reason, the fires were a little delayed. Brian Ortega had just gotten out of bed. He's trying to get his sleep schedule on right, so he's awake all night. And he sleeps all during the day, basically, so he's on point come fight night. So he was basically half asleep, had to pull him out of bed. Korean Zombie had some issues with the translator not being around for his virtual media day, but we got all that squared away. You can all go watch those videos after the A-side, but we are here nonetheless. And I'd said it a few times, and I'll say it again. There's been a few names that I've wanted to get on the A-side. I'm still checking off some of the people, but I am still, of course, in Abu Dhabi. This is UFC Fight Island 6 Fight Week. On Fight Island before the Brian Ortega Korean Zombie fight, which still won't happen. I am not convinced because I believe in curses. But without further ado, this guest I'm very excited to have on. She's worked for KSW, she's worked for Yahoo, I think she's worked for ESPN, she's worked at Bellator events. She's basically been everywhere MMA has been in the UK. She also happens to be a movie star. Jade Morris, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I'm going to go with that movie star. Not true, but we're going to say it anyway. It's fine.
Well, we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. But Casey's also here on the ones and twos. Casey, you've met Jade, I think, in the past, but you've officially met again. She's in the UK. I'm in Abu Dhabi. Casey is still up to good in Englewood, but you guys know the drill. You can ask any question you want. I guarantee you most will be fight related. Some of them might not be fight related. We don't know the questions. We are prepared for anything. So, Casey, without further ado, what is our first question?
All right. First question. Very important. Hot topic issue.
I know what it is.
We got to talk about it right now.
She's a new guest, and I guarantee you I know what the question is. Yup, that is the exact first question I thought it was going to be. Jade, this has nothing to do with fighting, but it is a tradition for new guests to answer this. And as you can see from Suzanne Fights, first things first, what ice cream flavor would Jade pick? I will set the scene. In a hypothetical world where you get a hand cannon attached to your arm and it can have one ice cream flavor to solve world hunger, one flavor for every person, what flavor do you pick and why?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with chocolate just because everyone likes chocolate. So you can't go wrong with that, right?
I would agree. P.T. Carroll was boring and picked vanilla, I remember. Casey, what did you pick? Yeah, but it's P.T. Carroll.
I think I went mint chocolate with the little chunks in it.
I would always say cookies and cream because I'm a big cookies and cream fan. And then Shane Young and Brad Riddell, I asked this question before their fights on Fight Week, and their answer blew me away. They said Neapolitan. That's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry all in one scoop. And I was like, well, there you go. There's your answer. You get three flavors in one. I think that's our new correct answer, Casey.
Ooh. Now, see, I would have said salted caramel.
Salted caramel is a real good one.
Now you're thinking, now you're thinking about it more. Yeah.
Yeah, see. Now everyone says chocolate, vanilla, this and that. There, I think Neapolitan is my new correct answer. Because as soon as he said it, Izzy was like, yeah, that's the correct answer. I'm not even going to answer that anymore. Brad's got it down. I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong. I think Brad's the smartest of us five there. But thank you for the question, Suzanne. I knew that question was coming, and I'm glad we started off. But Casey,
a great question.
Yeah, we ask every new guest gets asked that question. Most people say cookie dough or cookies and cream, unless you're Pizza Carol and it says vanilla.
Which is basically the potato of ice creams.
Yes.
All right. Let's go straight to the YouTube comments from longtime commenter.
From Tristan Gordet, longtime commenter. After his win this past Saturday, who would you like to see Edson Barbosa fight next? Two names that come to mind for me are Shane Burgos and Jeremy Stephens. So to set the scene, Edson Barbosa, of course, got back into the win column. He was on a 3-fight losing streak, if I remember correctly. He was 0-1 at featherweight. Now he is 1-1 at featherweight. He beat Finland's own Makwan Amerikani pretty decisively, but it was still an exciting fight nonetheless. He is officially back into the win column. Said he would go back up to lightweight for the trilogy fight against Paul Felder, but wants a high-ranked opponent. I think I laid out some ideas on our post-fight show or one of the shows I talked about. But Jade, we'll start with you. If you are booking Edson Barbosa's next fight, who do you want to see him fight next?
Ooh, I don't know. Jeremy Stephens sounds good. But do you know what? I'd watch him fight anyone just because he's so exciting. And every time you see Barbosa fight, you know it's going to be a war. So he is one of those fighters where I wouldn't get mad who he fought. It's great to see him back in the win column as well, because like you say, obviously he has had he's had a couple of losses. But it's hard to kind of put those losses against him because he is such an exciting fighter. So I'd be happy to see him against anyone. But yeah, good shout, Jeremy Stephens. That'd be quite exciting.
I like that Shane Burgos fight a lot too. Another guy that beat Makwan Amerikani. I think that's a super violent, high-level striking matchup. Casey, if you're booking Edson Barbosa's next fight, who do you want to see him fight next?
Well, despite his technically being on a 3-fight losing streak, his last two fights, especially versus Felder and Ige can have absolutely gone his way. So, and the level of competition, we've talked about this before, but the level of competition Edson Barbosa fights at, I think for the last over a decade, he's only fought in A-level or just the highest level prospects or guys, former title contenders, everything. So I just got to set the stage. Like, Edson Barbosa is still without a doubt A-level fighter. But who should he fight next? Well, Jeremy Stephens is currently booked against Arnold Allen, so I wouldn't mind seeing the winner of that face Barbosa.
That was going to be my answer. Yeah. The winner of Arnold Allen and Jeremy Stephens, I think, would be a banger, especially on Fight Island. Arnold Allen, of course, can get to Fight Island pretty easily. Barbosa's fought here before. I think they're like, of everyone in the top 10, the top five, I think, are pretty booked up. Like, Korean Zombie Ortega, Volkanovski gets the winner of that. I think Holloway should fight Cater, and I don't want to take Holloway or Cater away from one another. And I think Arnold Allen and Jeremy Stephens are the only ones left. I think they're 7-8 or 8-9.
Josh Emmons up there too, but he's injured right now. Yeah.
Josh Emmons' knee is basically held together by duct tape right now. So I like the winner of Jeremy Stephens and Arnold Allen or Shane Burgos. But I agree with Jade. Throw him against anyone, Edson Barbosa, and I win game.
Oh, yeah. You know, I totally forgot, actually. Sadiq Youssef, they're actually the original booking of this.
That's true.
And they're both very similar ranked. I think Sadiq Youssef he hasn't been doing any media. Or we just haven't seen him around anymore. So I think people kind of forgot about him. But Sadiq Youssef is a high level prospect, and that was originally booked, and Youssef just had passport issues. So Barbosa lives in the States. If Barbosa wants a quick turnaround and the weight cut is fine and he's healthy, book it in the Apex later this year. So
make it happen.
Okay, next question. Yeah, hold on. Windows are all messed up. Yeah, let's have some fun.
John Jones, there's a Google keg on the comment section on the site. John Jones admitting he hid from the NSAC drug testers. Are there any updates from the Nevada State Athletic Commission about this situation? So I'm sure all of you are aware that John Jones and Israel Adesanya are going through a little Twitter argument back and forth. Somehow Israel Adesanya got John Jones to confirm Chael Sonnen's longstanding theories, rumor, allegations that John Jones hid under the cage at Jackson Wink to avoid a drug test. John Jones apparently admitted it, but not because of steroids, but because he had just smoked a joint and thought he would pop for weed.
It was a blunt. I haven't heard any updates. A blunt.
It was a blunt. It was a blunt. I want to plug this correctly, but I have not finished reading it. There is a website, I believe, called Combat Sports Law. So combatsportslaw.com. They have apparently a very well researched and written article on the statute of limitations, what the contracts would say and this and that. So I would recommend going to read that. I'm not quite done with it. There's a lot of legal jargon that I'm not 100% caught up to. But in terms of actual updates from the Nevada State Athletic Commission, I haven't heard any. We also haven't been able to talk to Dana White the last 2 weeks. So there's no way we can ask Dana White. But I'll just use it. I'll use this question to jump off. Jade, what did you think when John Jones finally confirmed this longstanding theory or rumor?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked in any way. There was no doubt that it was true. I knew for sure it was. I just knew it was true. So it's quite funny that he's now come out with it. I'm quite surprised that he has. I'm surprised he's now brought that out. But yeah, I do wonder why he's done it as well. Because if you've denied it for so long, it does make me wonder why now he's come out with it. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I wasn't shocked at all that it was actually true.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I think, I don't know how Izzy pulled it off, but I just think John Jones just, I don't know what was going on, why he would admit that so publicly. Casey, what did you think? I know you're not a big fan of the back and forth between Izzy and John Jones. I am not a big fan of the direction it has taken, but what did you think specifically about this situation right here?
Man, I don't want to reuse a tired catchphrase, but Izzy is living rent-free in John's head right now. I mean, more about that. I was just kind of, it's one of those stories I've heard. I feel like I heard that story like a decade ago about the whole hiding under the cage thing. And I don't know because it was such like a rumor. I don't know if John ever had to. I don't know if anyone actually approached from a media standpoint. Did anyone ever? Ask John about that publicly and like in a press conference or anything, or is it one of those kind of just those rumors just kind of, you know, underneath?
I think it was Chael clearly started the rumor, and I can't think off the top of my head if anyone has just straight up asked.
Yeah, I just wonder, but
I have no idea.
So I was kind of surprised, like why he came out with that. But
the fact that he voluntarily admitted it himself is a little alarming. Yeah.
It's like I was not doing steroids. I was just stoned, guys. Like I was like, okay, cool. It's like you sound fun to hang out with, I guess. It's just there's nothing gonna happen with the commissions or anything. It was a long time ago. Who knows? Maybe the weed's still in the system.
Well, I think there is a 10-year statute of limitations for because remember Vanderlei ran away from a test and he got a lifetime ban. So if that is the case, and that was also so I don't know the ramifications because I'm not reading this, but I think the statute of limitations is 10 years and I don't know how long ago that was. So I would really have to look into it more.
I feel like surely that was 10 years ago because I remember hearing about it ages ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it came up. Don't quote me on it. My memory is terrible. But I'm sure it came up when Chael Sonnen was in the UK and that must have been a good 9 years ago. When he made a joke about it. So
did he make that joke in the UK?
Trying to think if it was, because I'm sure it was around that time. But again, my memory is so bad that I could be completely lying. But I'm sure that it was around then that it came up. I can't remember. But it's easily been like that amount of time.
Eight,
9 years.
Would it be hilarious that John Jones somehow is get suspended for weed after weed has become legal?
Well, I think it wouldn't be about weed. I think it would be running from the test, which would be the big, it wouldn't be the actual drug.
But did he,
according to the Nevada State Athletic Commission, 467.5705 notes, fighters who with or without compelling justification refuse or fail to submit the collection of a sample or specimen upon their request of the commission or its representation or who otherwise evades the collection of a sample or specimen commits an anti-doping violation as it's subject to disciplinary action by the commission. And then it also goes into like if he does it a second time, it's this. If it's a third time, you can get a lifetime ban. So I think it wouldn't be about the weed. I think it'd be about running away from the test.
Which makes it weird that he's admitted it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering.
It says right here. Right here. Once it says first USADA has a lengthy limitation period.
Wasn't USADA?
Under Article 17. You're correct.
Yeah.
So the UFC's anti-doping pros, and they retain jurisdiction for 10 years with a section noting no anti-doping violation proceeding, blah, so on and so forth. So basically 10 years statute of limitation. But you are correct, Casey. It was the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So I don't know the exact details of what will happen.
Yeah. And also, I mean, not to get into the technicalities, but if the commission never actually approached him, did he actually run away from it? In that sense.
Yeah. Like if they showed up and he's like, I'll be right back, and then just disappeared.
Or not, or like maybe they were out. I don't know the story. I always assumed the story was they pulled up and he was inside the gym. They pulled up outside and someone's like, hey, Popos are here, you know, basically. and everyone just kind of scatters. But sure. But if it wasn't like actually formally approached, did you actually officially run away? That's all.
That's a good question.
So it's John Jones, man, always in the news. I love it. Yeah.
It's 2020. We're still talking about it.
Yeah, guy's amazing.
Anyway, what is our next question? Thank you, Zakuko Kegging. Always a pleasure hearing from you in the comment section. I can't read this Twitter handle, so you're gonna have to read a
Sam Harris. Sam Harris 999.
Oh, a longtime commenter. Where does Buckley's knockout rank in the best knockouts of all time? Personally, I think it's top three. So I talked about this a little bit on Between the Links, but we'll start with Jade. Before that, I'll set the scene. Of course, Joaquin Buckley scored a stunning head kick knockout at the last UFC Fight Island card. One of the single greatest knockouts I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if it's the greatest. It's top five for sure. But Jade, where does it rank in your list off the top of your head in greatest knockouts you have ever witnessed? Not just UFC, it could be all of MMA.
So I've been thinking about this because it is hard to say. I mean, it was an incredible knockout. I'd say it's definitely top three. For me, because it depends what you're basing it on. So if you're basing it on it was just like a fluke, or if it was something that was pre-planned based on their game, like what their strategy was. I've got Silva versus Weidman was a big one, just because that knockout was such a big moment for UFC history in terms of, you know, who Anderson Silva is. So that one is a big one for me. That's top three. Also have to say Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo, just because of the precision and the fact that he timed that before he went into the cage. So that one again. Also, you've got Masvidal versus Askren. Yeah. So it's just so hard, isn't it? Because there's so many amazing knockouts. It's like, where do you put it? I'd have to say, yeah, Buckley, definitely top three, just from how incredible it was. And I can't see many people able to pull off a knockout like that. So for that alone, you have to put it in top three. So I'd have that along with Conor McGregor and with Chris Weidman. And then, yeah, Masvidal, a close fourth.
I'm glad you brought up the Weidman and Conor knockouts, because they might not be the most athletic, but in terms of the ramifications of the mixed martial arts world, like those two are way up there. So is Holly Holmes on Ronda Rousey. I think Gabriel Gonzaga's head kick on Crow Cop was a big one, mostly because he Crow Cop. But yeah, there's some pretty insane ones. I was cage side, and I know Casey was backstage for Yair's KO against Korean Zombie, which to me is the greatest ever. I put Buckley 2-3. I'm trying to think. MVPs on Cyborg, where he broke his face, was pretty brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was remembering real bad. Yeah. And I was cage side for Lima knocking out MVP. Oh. That was pretty unbelievable. Anderson's front kick against Vitor is obviously huge for the sport. There's a ton. Like, I don't know how you can't have Henderson's overhand on Bisping and Ganu's on Overeem. But Casey, what are some that you can remember? Where would you put Buckley in your rank?
I put a lot of weight into the stakes of the fight and who the competitors are. And unfortunately for Buckley, his friends call him Buckley, and How do you say his opponent's last name? I know Impa.
Impa Kasangwe, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the point. In the sense that it was just a prelim on essentially a just a regular fight night, and unfortunately for that, it won't be. It will never be the number one knockout. It's just too low on the card. Not enough stakes in it. But on just pure athleticism, good lord, it could be the number one knockout ever. Just on pure athleticism and just pure. Like holy shit moment, you know, but I'm being generous. I'll give it a top five, but I put knockouts like Holly, Ronda, Connor, Aldo, Vitor, Belfort. I put those above it because they were spectacular knockouts and they changed the sport. They, you know, but what's really impressive about this knockout though. I have friends. That's a big story too. But I have friends who do not care about MMA at all, and I love them for that. And even then,
did you see?
Even them, they were like, dude, I don't follow fighting, and it's on my fucking. It's on my Instagram feed now. I'm like, what? So,
did you see who tweeted about it today,
Mr. West?
Did you see who used that? Kanye West used that video to release a song.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Does it get bigger than? Has anyone hit that level of mainstream? And from a prelim to Kanye West tweeting about you, I can't think of anyone that has ever done that.
That's what makes so for such a low level fight in a sense a prelim on ESPN Plus. The fact that it went mainstream. That is super impressive. And
tweeted in all caps, mind you, the whole team is so energized that I had to release theme music. Nah, nah, nah. And then he looped the knockout and released music with it. Was that a new song? That reminds me, like, it's, I don't know if I haven't listened to it yet. I just listened like the first couple things he dropped. Rapper and presidential candidate Kanye West dropped a surprise track late Tuesday night, inspired by Buckley's jaw-dropping spinning kick. Those are our own Damon Martin's words. So shout out to him, of course. But yeah, like Kanye West tweeting about you, that just reminds me of like, remember Lady Gaga tweeted about Holly's knockout.
And
I think
remember Beyonce used to show Ronda clips at her concerts too.
The do nothing, don't be a do nothing bitch. And Sia tweeted about Volkanovski, if I remember correctly. So it's happened before. But again, all those people were naming were championship fights. And Buckley was a prelim and Kanye was tweeting about him. So my God, shout out to you, young man, even though he's probably older than me.
Yeah.
So I'll say top five. But I agree with Jade and you that the stakes of those other knockouts just make those a little higher up in my list. Yeah. But I think the craziest one I see is Zombie. Getting KO'd by Yair.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that one too.
I remember that drive back from the arena. We were just like, "Holy crap! What did we just see?"
And I've tried to do that elbow in the gym, and like my back just can't spin that much. It was just insane. like the spin kick that Buckley did. It's not that it's very difficult to do. It's just to do it right then and just see it. That's the super impressive art.
Well, if you watch that, he like input caught that same kick a few times before. And then who is Sage Northcutt's sister married to?
Raymond Daniels.
Yeah, that spin, that tornado KO he had in Bellator is pretty unbelievable too.
No, it was in Glory.
Glory. No, I thought that was a Bellator fight. No, it was Bellator, the one he jumped up and spun around and punched.
Oh, that one. I'm thinking of the one, the knockout. He actually did a two-touch spin, but he did it off the opponent's thigh rather than being held up. Yeah.
And let's also not forget, Corey Sandhagen had a spin kick KO later that night. And earlier in that night, Jade, who got the KO at KSW? I know you want to say.
Wait, you want about on that fight card, on the UFC fight card?
On the KSW card.
On the KSW.
Or was it KSW?
Yeah.
Who got the other knockout that night?
It was what's his name against Scott Askin.
Yes, that was another unbelievable card, and of course another KSW.
And I've forgotten how to say his name. Hang on, let's have a look.
I keep wanting to call him the cannibal.
Mamed Khalidov. It's really hard to say, so I always have to like double check. Yeah, Mamed. But yeah, it was. So it was a switch kick. That's what it was.
Unbelievable.
In the first minute of the fight.
And I felt so sorry for them as well, because obviously that was such a huge knockout. And then obviously
Right.
Like all the knockouts that were happening in the UFC that night, that card was just insane. So it kind of took away the shine for Mamed. But yeah, that was an insane knockout.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, I can't remember. One of the fighters that had just won, we were waiting to meet with him, and he wanted to watch the highlights before he went to the press conference. Like, he was standing in front of the TV just being like, what the fuck just happened? And then after that, every fight was like, did you see that knockout? Like, fighters after the fights were all still talking about it backstage. But we could talk about this forever.
Yeah, what was it? The heavyweight, Dukakis.
Yeah, Dukakis. He was great.
Because he had a big knockout, and then but he's like, oh, I ain't winning no 50K though, because he just saw Buggy's knockout.
He still won.
Oh yeah, he still get 50K?
Yeah, because there were four performances. Drickus Du Plessis got a, speaking of KSW vets, he got a big win on that card too. So big night for KSW vets.
I told you, I said, Drakus Dukasi, watch out for him, because he is, I had the honor of watching him at KSW, and he is just incredible. So I knew he was going to come in and put on a performance.
He reminds me, not in terms of his fighting style, but like Izzy, he came in with a already solid resume before he joins the UFC. Mm-hmm. So he's for sure a prospect to watch in middleweight.
Is he a prospect, or is it, at this point, is he kind of like years?
I think he's still very young.
Is he young? Okay.
So even he admits, he's like, I don't have to get tossed. He's only like 26, 25. He's like, I don't have to get tossed. Yeah. He's like, and he laid it out. He's like, I want to get top 25 and then top 20, then top 15. Like, he doesn't want to just jump right up. He gets it. Okay. He knows the game.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know very much about him, so I wasn't sure if he's like Jiří or Michael Chandler, where like they're coming in ready to go. They don't need to be built up.
Funny story on Drickus real quick. If you watch it, he tried to enter the octagon before he got like the Vaseline and checked and everything. He might have got the Vaseline. No. So I think everyone thought he was just excited. And then I saw him after the next day, and Mark Goddard was also there. And apparently Drickus's loss in KSW, Mark Goddard was the ref that checked him before. And when he saw Mark Goddard, he's like, nope, not you. And what? Because he's superstitious and tried to walk into the octagon, and he had to get pulled back. So it was more of a superstition thing and then anything else. It was very funny. And Mark Goddard thought it was hilarious too. He's like, oh yeah, I was the one that checked you. And he's like, and then I got knocked out.
But this is the thing. Like, we watch so many fights that sometimes you have to try and remember, like, because when you think about how many fights we watch in a night, and I've got the worst memory ever, and I've been doing it for over a decade. So someone will say, oh, do you remember this fight like 6 years? And I have to sit there and be like, do I? And they're like, gee, you did the post-fight interview. And I'm like, did I? It's just,
I do that all the time. I'm like, I've never seen this guy fight before. And then I look at my hard drives. Oh, I've literally interviewed this guy two times.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah. So bad. My memory is just shocking. It's just not good. And then they're like, Jade, you literally were there. You were cage side. I was like, oh yeah, you know.
Story shocking of the game. Anyway. All right. Casey, what is our next question?
Because we have to get one question in about him.
Oh, there you go. Would Luque versus Chimaev be a competitive fight? Oh, man. I have not even thought about this fight. Vicente Luque versus Khamzat Chimaev. I think it'd be competitive. I'd still obviously favor Vicente Luque just based on what we have seen. But Jade, what do you think of a possible Vicente Luque Khamzat Chimaev fight at welterweight, mind you?
That'd be fun. But isn't he calling out? I'm sure he's just called out Nate Diaz, doesn't he?
He did. He called out Nate Diaz.
Who is he not calling out?
Offered.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like,
supposedly he's called out. Yes, exactly. Supposedly, Wonderboy turned Khamzat down at welterweight. Chris Weidman turned him down at middleweight. Leon Edwards, in an interview at MMA Fighting, said that Khamzat hasn't beaten anyone yet. Michael Chiesa at the media day said that he respects Hamzat's fighting skills. He's just not there yet. He's mostly just a name, and he doesn't basically fight. It's a risky fight because you don't want to be used to propel a prospect. But if you beat them, what really happens? Kind of like Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker type thing. But then Darren Till, Liverpool's own, said, Hamzat, if I get through Jack, I'll fight you. And Hamzat responded with rock and roll, man. So, Jade, what do you think of Darren Till offering to fight Hamzat if he gets through, which, mind you, he has to get through Jack Hermanson, which is very difficult. What do you think of all that whole situation?
Oh, I just think that would be so exciting. Just the build up to that would be hilarious. I mean, Darren's just hilarious in general. Like, if you've seen his Twitter, he's just, it's the Scouse banter, I will say, the Liverpool banter. But yeah, I would love to see that fight. But I'd just love to see him fight anybody because he's just so good. And obviously he wants to prove himself. I don't think that fight will happen with Diaz, but if it did, that would be awesome. I think that would be quite a tough fight for him. But I just think a lot of fighters, and I kind of get it, because he is still quite new, but at the same time, he's going to give any fighter problems. So I can understand why a lot of fighters aren't going to want to risk that and take that fight. So that's why it's so good that people like, you know, Darren Till have come out and said, yeah, I'll fight you. Because, you know, he'd just fight anyone. But I would quite like to see that fight against Nate Diaz. I think that would be really good.
I love it. Honestly, I agree with you. I just want to see Hamzat fight someone. Let's not forget, he hasn't, welterweight is supposedly his best weight class. I don't remember who he fought the first time, but it was a middleweight because it was a late notice fight that he was in Brave, and then he came over to the UFC. So it was a middleweight because it was late notice. And then he fought Reese McKee, who was a lightweight, England's own, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And he's a lightweight that jumped up to welterweight to fight Hamzat. So Hamzat was a welterweight fighting a lightweight. And then he fights Gerald Meerschaert, who is a legitimate middleweight with a lot of fights, and then he just destroyed him. So technically, Hamzat hasn't even fought a welterweight in the UFC yet. So, Casey, I know you're a little tired of the Hamzat hype. Maybe not tired of the hype, but you just want to see him fight. What do you think of this whole situation with Hamzat?
The UFC needs to get him in that cage quickly, because that was his whole gimmick. It's like he fights every 15 minutes. You know, it's like that's, you know, he'll fight the first fight of the night, then he'll have a meal and fight the last fight of the night. I mean, I was really bummed out he wasn't on this at any of these Fight Island cards. Like, he could, like, to me, like, he should have been on every single fight night versus just some, you know, some 0-2 contender series guy. Just put him on every single card. Like, so by the time the year ends, he's like 15-0 or something. Like, just, I mean,
that would have been hilarious.
Just, you know, gimmicks sell. And I think that would have been, if you're not going to give him like a name, just get him out there. But, of course, I want to see him fight anyone. And I totally understand why these top ranked welterweights are turning him down, because it just doesn't make sense to fight a guy like that. Not that they're scared or anything. It just doesn't make sense. But
guys all go through it. Like Islam Makhachev is going through it right now after he lost RDA, and no one wants to fight. He's clearly one of the best lightweights in the world, but his ranking doesn't match. And then Habib went through the same thing for a while where it was up to Cowboy to be like, yeah, I'll fight you. I don't even know you. That fight didn't even end up happening. And then like Habib fought RDA finally and tore through him, and that kind of propelled him. But these guys go through it, man. They're broken English is part of their gimmick, and they're not massive names in the US quite yet. Well, Habib is now, but it's I don't know if you watched Dan Hooker's podcast, and he responded to Islam in some pretty aggressive words. He's like, let's take a look. He's like, I'm coming off back-to-back fight of the night performances. Main event, 5 rounds against 2 of the top 5 lightweights in the world. And Islam Makhachev has done fuck all, and you want me to go back and to fight him on 3 days on 2 weeks notice? And he goes, what am I, Santa Claus? Get to the back of the line. And I was like, so you're not wrong. I totally understand that. But it's hard for these guys that are not going to get these fights.
What? Yeah. And so unless the promoter, Dana or whoever, wants to throw some extra cash at, say, Dan Hooker or someone like that, or someone like Leon Edwards, you know, here's an extra $100,000 or $200,000 to go backwards. You know, they're prize fighters. You know, that's how they pay their bills. You got to make it financially worth it to take that risk. Because right now you're just this high risk, low reward. But real quick, what happened to the Maya fight? Did Maya officially turn
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Well,
I thought Dana said like this was our double. We that was the whole selling board. We booked two fights and then it didn't happen. Like was that all just was that Wolf tickets?
Also, I'll tell you this now. We'll find out tomorrow because Khamzat Chimaev is doing his own media day here on Fight Island after the Ortega zombie stare down on the beach. So we'll find out for you tomorrow, Casey. How about that?
Yeah. You know, one thing I think it's really kind of really neat about this whole pandemic era of MMA and UFC that think of two of the biggest stars that have come out of this Fight Island UFC pandemic era have been Chimaev, who's still an unranked guy, and Buckley, who was basically a welterweight middleweight journeyman. So these two kind of no-name guys are now like the biggest names right now coming out of this. It's just not top fighters, just guys. You know, so I just
active.
So I just think it's interesting.
I
just
I agree.
Very neat.
That was a long answer to a Vicente Luque that we didn't really talk about. Thank you, James, for the launching pad to talk about Khamzat Chimaev, or as Michael Yasekeep calls it, he always. Michael Chiesa keeps calling him Hazmat Chimaev. I also found out Michael Chiesa's friends call him Cheese because his last name looks like cheese. They'll be like, "What's up, Cheese?"
Hazmat Chimaev is the new Carlos Conduit. Remember? Remember Nick Diaz?
That's right. And Gibbler.
Yeah. Oh, but to answer James G's question, yes.
But yeah, we didn't really answer. That's funny.
Yes.
I'd say so.
This question is from longtime viewer Ed Arino. Sorry, we don't have his name.
I know he's not. You can't hear him, Jade. But Ed, who has asked this question, has one of the most soothing voices you'll ever hear, and my voice will not do him justice.
Really?
So it's. Yeah, it's he is also the smartest human being I've ever met in my life. So I'll read it. I guess, how does Chan Sung Jung's career change if Yair's elbow misses by just half an inch? Who is he fighting now instead of Ortega? This is a fascinating question because we talked about Yair KO and the Korean Zombie, which came at with 1 second left in their 5-round fight. 1 second. If Korean Zombie doesn't rush forward, he wins that fight. And he probably gets the title shot, honestly. I truly believe if he had beaten Yair Rodriguez, he would have fought Max, not Volkanovski. Or he would have fought Max instead of was Volkanovski the next fight for him? If I remember correctly. I can't even remember.
For Holloway?
No, Holloway fought Poirier between those two.
Okay. But featherweight though.
So I think it was regardless. Yeah. So I think Yair or Korean Zombie would have been the man to fight Max at featherweight, the then champion Max Holloway. Yeah. But he got KO'd and then he went on this tear. Again, and now he's a potentially one win away. So, Jade, if Yair Rodriguez misses, or Korean Zombie doesn't rush forward, or Yair throws that elbow 1 second later, what does Chan Sung Jung's career look like in 2020?
I have to agree with you. I think he'd have been fighting for the title for sure. I think we would have seen two fights in that time. I think we would have seen him fight Holloway, and I think we'd have seen him fight Volkanovski. So, yeah, it's just such a shame. It's just like, and this is why I love MMA so much, is that the slightest mistake, the most minuscule mistake, can cost you so badly, and it can really throw you back down the rankings easily. And yeah, so it is so annoying. It is that thin. I mean, look at Aldo. Just that slight mistake. And that's why MMA is so deadly, because like it's such an exciting sport. Yeah, because you make one wrong punch, you don't move your head the right way, whatever it is. And then, I mean, we saw that against Weidman when he threw that back kick. And
against Rockhold. That's a good point.
Yeah. It was that one thing, and then that just, I can't remember how many times he lost after that, but I think that, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but yeah, just slight things like that can really just knock your career back again. So I think, he would have been fighting for the title.
100%. I think neither Weidman and Rockhold have been the same since that fight. But yeah, I forgot, I haven't even thought about comparing those. Like, if Weidman doesn't throw that spin, he was losing already, let's not forget that, but if he doesn't throw that spinning back kick, we don't know what would happen. But he did, and he lost. And I think he has one win, if I'm not mistaken, since then. Was that the Kelvin knockout that you were at, Casey, on Long Island?
Yeah, he didn't knock out Kelvin. I think he wound up submitting him. Or did he knock out Kelvin?
Okay.
Well, either way, Kelvin was his highest level win after that. Then, of course, you know, he had a lot of tough losses against high level.
Oh, he beat Omari most recently.
But against like A level fighters, yeah, that was his last, you know, high level fight he won. But I think the big difference with this Korean Zombie's knockout, right? You know, we call these, you know, you just have to make one mistake. And I just go back to last week with Buckley, with his opponent, Impa. All Impa did was make literally a half second hesitation when he caught that foot. Because when you catch that foot, you got to throw it to the side real quick, or you got to rush him. You got to change you can't just stand there. He just kind of caught it. And then he just kind of stood there for half a second going, oh, what should I do next? And that half second was enough for Buckley to, you know, become a Kanye West music video. So, for Korean Zombie, though, what the difference is, like, Korean Zombie didn't even make a mistake in a sense. The fact that he is such a exciting fighter, the fight was won. Remember? And like, remember, you kind of give him a hug and it was like 5 seconds left. He's like, all right, come on, let's just throw down for the last 5 seconds. And Yair's like, and each Zombie's like, okay, you know, and that, so he gets knocked out because he was trying to give the fans what they wanted. So it just kind of, it sucks for Zombie in that sense. You know, he could have just been kind of boring and just gone, nah, dude, you come at me. He wins. Zombie wins that fight. He fights Holloway. Volkanovski is just another city boxing guy. Like the land, everything changes if he doesn't, yep, you know, try to please the fans. But I think Zombie would have fought Holloway, and I don't know if he beats Holloway, but good Lord, I want to see that fight at some point. And I want to see that fight when Holloway is still at his athletic prime. So I would have to say he is, because I felt Holloway won the rematch. So
I agree.
Yeah, it's just
it's like, man, imagine, it's like we're talking about split seconds. Like, remember when Darren Till fought Tyron Woodley? He has that like jab into the pullback uppercut that he always connects. Mm-hmm. And it's like half a second between the jab and the pullback and the uppercut. And Tyron Woodley timed it so perfectly that the second Darren Till pulled back, Tyron Woodley just went pop and knocked him dead. And then choked him with the Darce choke, got his black belt. And we have an Ann Still, and then Darren Till eventually gets decapitated by Masvidal, which then starts the resurrection tour. So, man, one set that again. Imagine if Darren Till beat Tyron Woodley. Would we have gotten the Masvidal return? Who knows? These are all questions that are all hypothetical.
That's the thing about MMA. Like I don't think there's any other sport where essentially you lose because you have to make a mistake. Someone has to make someone has to screw up first. Someone has to make a technical error first. And it's kind of awesome that way.
And it's not like boxing where you have the mandatory rematches. Like Andrew Ruiz beats Anthony Joshua, they automatically have to rematch. Deontay Wilder loses to Tyson Fury, automatic rematch. So it's not like that in the UFC. You lose, you move on. There's no like, hey, let's, like, unless of course Volkanovski Holloway, because that was such a controversial decision, but. Well, MMA is a silly sport.
Unless it puts butts in seats.
That's true. Thank you for the question, Ed. Ooh, from the seaside, prediction for Cyborg. Let's not forget, Bellator returns stateside, if I remember correctly. Yep. Chris Cyborg returns to the octagon. Who is she fighting? Arlene Glinko. So, Casey, I'll start with you because you cover Bellator. You've covered a million Bellator fights, more than me. You've covered Cyborg extensively in their Strikeforce days too. So is it just a formality that we have an Ann Still after her fight?
This is a bit like Shevchenko versus Maya. No, yes, Maya can beat Shevchenko, but I just don't see it. Glinko can beat Cyborg. I just don't see it. She's a tough, talented, you know, gritty boxer. I mean, mostly a boxer, I feel like. I've seen a couple of her fights. Nothing kind of blows me away about her. She's obviously talented. But Cyborg just blows you away when you see her fight. So this should be a nice showcase championship fight for Bellator. And hopefully Yeah, it should be exciting one to watch. It will be exciting to watch. I don't see very many opportunities for Glencoe to beat Cyborg, though. I just don't see her having that one punch power to really make Cyborg go backwards, like Amanda Nunes was able to, or even some of the Muay Thai fights that Cyborg has lost before.
Jade, same question. Is this a formality of Ann Still for Cyborg? And if it is anyone on the Bellator roster, can anyone give her a challenge at featherweight?
I'm asking Casey because I don't know too much about her opponent, but just from what I know about obviously Cyborg, I agree that it's a great showcase for her. There are not many people who have been able to throw hands with her. I mean, like you mentioned with Nunes. But yeah, I think she's going to give a lot of women in the division a big problem. I predict she's going to have a really great run over there. And I think it's going to be really tough for someone to try and take her out. And, you know, the people who have beaten Cyborg are some of the best fighters in the world. So, yeah, I think Cyborg is definitely going to take it. I don't think she's going to have many problems in there.
I think the name to give her is Kat Zingano if she gets through this fight. Mm. Kat's a name. She's a super talented fighter. She's at featherweight right now. Her loss to Megan Anderson was a loss, a fair and square loss, but it was like a toe stab in the face. And then like she thought she was going to lose her eye. Yeah. So it was a fair. She lost fair and square. It wasn't like an eye poke or anything, but it was just like one of those freak knockouts.
I mean, it actually was an eye poke. It's just technically toe pokes aren't illegal.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it's just, yeah. Oh, and when Kat described it, actually, when she did an interview maybe a year ago,
her eye was leaking.
Yeah, she was like this for like the longest time. She goes, I felt if I were to move my hand, my eyeball would have fallen out. I was like, ooh, okay, all right.
She said that when we were both backstage on the Phoenix card. Mm-hmm. She was the guest fighter. But yeah, you're not wrong. So I think Kat Zingano's the fight to make. I believe Cyborg is going to win. I give every opponent a 1% chance of winning unless you're Betch Gohea fighting Ronda Rousey. I was pretty confident Betch Gohea was not going to beat Ronda Rousey. I was also pretty confident Conor was not going to beat Habib. But I think Cyborg is a good lock.
Yeah, you put Betch Gohea and Conor in the same category. I like that.
I did.
Wow.
They both had a fight in 2020.
Okay, so this is all we're going to talk about Conor real quick, but I'm interested. Who did Conor have a better chance against, Habib or Mayweather?
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year, and hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands and thousands. There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
Okay. And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wow. Habib.
Habib? Okay.
Habib.
I agree. Yeah. I agree too. I think if they fought 100 times, there's a chance
Conor could win two.
Yeah, I think against Mayweather.
Yeah.
One maybe.
Floyd wins 100.
100, yeah. The one time, you know, he wears that cool robe and everything, he could have tripped and twisted his ankle on the way to the cage.
It's true.
Ring, you know, you never know. All right, so we got our Shamayev question, we got our Conor question in there. Good. Right. Even though it was about Cyborg, we're talking about Conor.
It happens.
Ooh, here you go. My favorite. Oh, I cut the name out. So I'm sorry.
Can you read this one for me, Casey?
Let me make a little game. I cut the name on accident, so I'm not sure who wrote this. Can you read that?
I can't. As happens with all stack division, 135 is now becoming a bit of a logjam. Aside from Sanhagen Moraes just fighting, not a single other member of the top 10 has a fight booked. What the flying fuck is going on? Aside from Aldo and Jan, how would you match up the rest of the top 10? Edgar Munoz, Aldo Cruz, Rivera, Sun Tzu. Also, Yadong, Vera, Font don't have fights either. So, oddly enough, Jan and Aljamain are supposedly being targeted right now for the main event of the December card. The co-main event. They would be the co-main event, and Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson would be the main event, which is fine. Amanda Nunes is the greatest female fighter of all time, and she is technically the higher weight class. Usually the higher weight class is the main event, so featherweight would main event against bantamweight. So people complaining that a female is female fights headlining over male fight.
People complaining about that?
Of course. Yeah. You know the drill.
Yeah.
You guys know the drill. So anyway. I tweeted a couple matchups I like. I like Jan Aljamain. I think it's obviously probably going to happen. I think Sanhagen and Dillashaw in January. I want to see Cruz versus Frank Yeager very badly. I think Marlon Moraes and Pedro Munoz is good. Jose Aldo, Uriah Faber, bantamweight. I think Chito Vera wants to fight Jimmy Rivera, so I wouldn't hate that one. And then Font versus Song Yadong is a fun scrap for me too. Considering Font and Cody Stamann had beef, and Stamann and Yadong, I think, fought to a draw at some point. But Jade, if you're booking this bantamweight division, that is all of a sudden one of the most exciting divisions in the UFC. Also, let's not forget, I believe Nathaniel Wood and Casey Kennedy are fighting coming up soon. That's a scrap. Two, I completely forgot about that. I think you got to toss that fight, the winner of that fight somewhere. So
real quick, and Davashvili is booked against Cody Stamann.
That's correct.
Another two.
Merab Dvalishvili. So, Jade, if you're booking this incredibly stacked bantamweight division, what are you doing?
I agree with you. I was actually going to bring up Dillashaw because I think, is he 3 months? Is it? I can't remember how many months
January,
it's due for him to
come back.
You
can come back in January.
Yeah. And then, obviously, Sanhagen, he's got an eye injury, apparently. So, they're saying 180 days, but I don't know whether that's going to be the case, he's saying. So that fight would be awesome as a return fight. I'd like to see that. Obviously, I'm so glad that Aljo finally got the fight. Bless him, because he's been trying to get that fight for so long. So it's great that it's finally announced that that fight's actually going to go ahead. Obviously, it's great to see Nathaniel Wood fighting again. He's going to be a huge prospect in the UFC for the UK. So we do have some good fights coming up. It's slowly but surely getting there. So we do have some great fights to look forward to.
We've talked about this before when Pete Carroll was here and he was absolutely losing his mind, especially being over in Europe. Didn't it drive you crazy that they booked Nathaniel Wood in Rio Rancho like a month before the UFC London was happening?
Yeah, it was so annoying. So annoying. Because as you guys know, I'm always like messaging you guys, which I think is why I've got a caffeine addiction, is because we're up at 6 a.m. watching fights. Dedication for the UK fans. So like fight cards for us, they start like 10, 11 o'clock. The main card usually starts between 1 and 3, depending on where it is. Usually 3, it'll start 3 a.m. So yeah, like when we get some great UK fighters come through and then you have a UK London card, it was a little bit annoying, especially when he's, you know, that's where he trains. He's, you know, a London boy. So
yeah, isn't he walks out with the London flag and everything. So like, how are you not going to put him there? I'm glad you brought up the time zone thing, because every time I tweet about the annoying times over here, like, oh, I have to go to fights at midnight or 2 a.m, I know Jade Zara, who is obviously on Twitter, she's a Twitter personality too, Niall, who still owes me a chicken parm, Pete, like Phil, they all tweet me and they're like, shut up, man. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, welcome to our life. I was like, yeah. Whatever, man.
Every weekend.
It's all, like the five of them.
Yeah. And that's what we do for our weekends. Cause I do always get asked like, oh, you know, what do you do at the weekend? I'm like, I'm up at 5 a.m, like watching fights. That's what I'm doing in my PJs with a cup of tea. So yeah, that's my weekend.
How do you drink your morning
tea?
I like
morning fights. Yeah,
how do I have my tea?
Yeah.
So you put because this is what I saw someone like doing it all wrong and it really stressed me out. So you put the water in the tea bags in, you put the hot water in, and then you put the milk in, and then you take the tea bag out. No sugar. But if it's coffee, I will have two sugars. So usually when we get to about 3 a.m. is when the coffee comes out, and then I'll start having like coffee to keep me going. But yeah, that is the correct way we have in English tea.
So you do, so you put the cream in with the bag still in it? Just the...
Yeah, so I have semi-skim milk. So you put, obviously, boil kettle. You've already got the tea bag in the cup. Pour it in. Some people like to let it brew for like 5 minutes. I don't tend to do that. And then you pour, obviously, a dash of milk in. And then, obviously, you know, then you take the tea bag out. No sugar.
I can honestly say that's, I don't think coffee. I've ever had, I don't know, I know I've never had a proper English tea. I just drink my coffee straight black. I don't know where Casey went. Casey, where did you go? Casey, what happened?
Offended at my tea.
Yeah. Ungodly.
Pesek and Rubella.
Yeah, Pesek was barking at the neighbors, so I had to go get the dog.
Do we have any more questions, Casey? Because one just came in specifically for Jade.
Oh, you can just read that one. Read that question. Yeah,
Hashtag the A side question for Jade Morris or at Jade Morris MMA. What is the biggest upcoming KSW card/fight that can't be missed? Thanks to you, Casey and Jose. Good show. Are there scheduled KSW fights happening right now? I know they just had the card, but I don't know if there's, I don't know off the top of my head if they have any presently announced.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have a quick look because I don't know what the next one is. Actually, I'm not 100% sure.
They just had the one. Yeah.
I hate KSW. I have to wake up at 5 a.m. to watch the fight.
Don't even.
I'm so tired. I gotta get my tea and my biscuit and the cream and the, I don't know. I don't mind waking up early.
Oh, we have KSW 56. I've just remembered now, and it's Roberto Soldic. So yes, that is a good fight to watch. When is that?
14th. Oh, the Croatian guy. Yeah, he's good.
He's incredible. So he's been on all the cards that I've been on. I can't actually see the fight cards of that one.
Does KSW, do they have fights outside of Poland or just all over Europe?
Yeah, so they have around, I think it's around 6 fights a year or something. And they do like 1 or 2 in London.
Okay.
I know they've done 1 in Croatia. I know they've done 1 in Dublin. Well, okay. Other than that, it's usually Poland and England. And then remember, we interviewed Martin Casey, I think it was UFC 239 Fight Week, and he had laid out this big plan of he wanted to do some cross-promotion stuff with Bellator. He wanted, at the time, he wanted Ryan Bader to fight Phil DeFries, which I was about. I know he wanted Chandler to fight Gamrot, and I was like, and now they're both in the UFC. Shockingly enough, he wanted to do some stuff with Ryzen too, which would have been awesome. And then he wanted to go bring KSW to Chicago in America because there's a big Polish scene. He basically wanted to test it. He wanted to co-promote a show in Chicago with Bellator to see if it would succeed. But of course, the pandemic hit, and I don't know how far along they got because he said, "I said what?" I was like, "What's the big holdup?" And he said, "Money." And I go, "Yeah, that makes sense."
Although it is huge because every time I've covered a KSW event, it is packed out, like fully packed out. Like they, in Poland, you know, they love their MMA. And I'm just having a look. So it doesn't say who Roberto Soldic is fighting. Tomasz Narkon, he's fighting. Yeah. So the fight card hasn't like officially been announced yet from what I can see. But that's the next one.
Thomas Snark.
Roberto Soldic. Yeah. He is a fighter to watch in KSW.
I am looking. His 17-3 has a bunch of wins already in KSW. Has won and lost the KSW champ. He's the guy that beat Drickus. TKO. I forgot about that. He's 1-1 against Drickus. Man, I forgot about that. Yeah. So if he ever hops over to the UFC, that trilogy fight is sitting right there. Well, it is welterweight, and I saw Drickus after his fight, and I'm like, how the hell did you ever make welterweight? He is massive.
Yeah,
Massive.
But then again, everyone looks massive next to me. So when I do interviews, I have to wear like heels like this. Just so
sure.
Megan Olivia knows my pain. We're both around the same height.
Oh, yes, she does.
So we're always joking about our height.
So I've been in the arena for Ryzen shows, and the live event is just spectacular. I've never been to a KSW. You have. Tell me what it's like to be in the arena for all their theatrics and lights and show that they have in Poland for those shows.
It is the coolest thing I have ever seen. So I was stood by the stage so what they obviously do is they bring them all up on the stage, and then you see all like the fire going up. And
so they do the opening ceremonies and things like that. Okay.
They do like the full thing. And I just remember sitting there going, what is this? This is insane. So it was my very first one. And I'd obviously never seen it before. And I was like, this is so cool. So I got introduced to it. And now, like, I just love that promotion. And it was packed out. Like, everyone was beside themselves. And it was really knowledgeable fans as well. Like, they really, like, so, like, when it went to the ground, there wasn't as much booing. It was just people seemed to get what was going on. And the fights were insane. There were some terrifying knockouts that I'd seen as well. So I'd done it when Phil DeFries was fighting Roberto Soldic, Dreyfus Dupuisie. So I was watching all these guys, and the fights were just such high level, which is why KSW is just so popular in Poland. Obviously, it's Polish promotion, but it's so popular because the fights they put on and the quality of the promotion is just incredible.
Awesome.
And they've produced what? John Blachowicz, Gamrot, of course. I assume Tabura fought there. He's another Polish fighter. Joanna, Karolina Kowalkiewicz. So for all these people that say, like, oh, not in the UFC, they're not good. Like, man, some of the best fighters in the world. And Casey shakes his head because the argument is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just...
We're about, like, Michael Chandler hops in and people are like, oh, it's B-League. I'm like, or Patricio Pitbull is just an unbelievable fighter and knocked him out. Like, just because Michael Chandler lost to Pitbull is nothing to shake your head at. Go ahead.
And I still can't get out of my head when James Vick fought Justin Gaethje, and James Vick's all like, whatever, you fought in the minor leagues, whatever. This is the big boys fight here, Homer. You know, it's like, oh, don't say that, man. You are don't say that, James Vick.
Gonna get smashed. And it's like, looking back on it, the two losses to Will Brooks are a little weird for Michael Chandler, considering we saw how Will Brooks' career kind of played out after that. But he lost fair and square both times.
Yeah.
Still weird. It's still weird to think that he has two losses to Will Brooks and Bellator.
Yeah.
And then I think Will Brooks beat Ross Pearson, and then that's it
in
the UFC.
Will Brooks is probably on that unfortunate list of kind of biggest free agent flameouts, I guess, in the UFC. Guys came over super high expectations and, just didn't show up. I put him up there on that list of like guys like Hatsuo Aoki, guys I thought were going to be fighting. Yeah, Lombard, guys I thought were going to be fighting for the title. Well, Lombard, I wasn't as high as a believer in him, but obviously the UFC was because they paid him the money. But
I thought Lombard would have been great at welterweight, but then once they got rid of the IV, he couldn't make welterweight anymore.
Was that? Oh, yeah. So we're.
He whoops Jake Shields at welterweight. Yeah, we're a little over time. Is that what you're saying, Casey?
Yeah, we're about the hour mark, so we got lots of more questions. So we can do rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
So basically,
Hatsuo Aoki. I haven't thought about that name in a long time.
Dude, that guy was like Korean Zombie was like the third best featherweight in Sengoku at the time, and I think it was Marlon Sandro and Aoki were like kind of the premier ones, and Zombie was kind of in the middle, you know, as far as like the name value over there. But yeah. All right.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Oh, you can't read that. Hold on. Let me blow that up.
Something about Tatiana Suarez.
Yeah.
Tatiana Suarez was taken out of the ranking, but Nina wasn't. Do you think this sets a bad example? Also, Nina said she was coming back at flyweight. Seems like Dan is playing favorites because he loves Amanda so much. What are your thoughts? So, Jade, what are your thoughts on Tatiana Suarez being taken out of the rankings after a long layoff, given that she has the win over Nina and Nina is still in the rankings?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about. I'm just trying to remember, when did this happen?
UFC. Got taken out of the rankings very recently, but both of their last fights were UFC 238, which was June 2019. Yeah. I personally think it's just because Tatiana has that really bad neck injury. And she doesn't know when she's going to come back. Well, Nina, who just gave birth, I think has told Dana, like, once I get back in shape, I will be ready to go. I think there's just a more up. We don't know. There's so much mystery around Tatiana's neck injury that she could be out for another year and a half. And Nina is already working to get back. So I think that's the answer.
The problem is as well, and firsthand, I've had some neck injuries from jiu-jitsu, and mine still hurts. Like, I'm still in physio now after 3 years, and that's how long it can take you out for. I mean, Rose Namajunas, I was shocked at how quickly she came back, to be honest, because she had a very bad neck injury. So, yeah, I can't, it's hard, isn't it? Like, you can say, well, that's a bit unfair, but at the same time, if Nina, she has a set date that she's coming back, I don't know. It's hard because it's, you don't really know what is going on behind closed doors, what's been said in terms of how long she could be back. So she could have been told, you might not be able to fight for a few years. You just don't know. So I don't know. It's a hard one.
It's an unfortunate situation, because I personally think Tatiana is the best strawweight in the world when she's healthy.
Rankings are fake.
Yes, they are. What to do with Dillashaw upon his return? His suspension is up less than 3 months. Does he get him a title shot, or should he fight number contender, flyweight or bantamweight? Well, definitely not flyweight, considering that's what caused this whole chaos, because he took the EPO trying to get down to flyweight. But I think me, Jade, and Casey all agree the Sandhagen fight's an awesome fight to make, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're all in agreement on.
And I think the timeline's about right for that, too. So
I agree 100%. Because if he beats Corey, then give him a title shot, and no one can complain. But they still will.
A few more questions off the YouTube chat.
Tristan Gordet. Michael Chandler talked about wanting to fight Tony Ferguson, but he said that Ferguson turned the fight down. If that fight doesn't happen, what do you think about Chandler versus Hooker? I love it. Jade, what do you think?
Yeah, that would be an awesome fight. I just want to see Mike Chandler get in there, because I think, isn't he, he's already at Fight Island, isn't he? He's like going to be the replacement for
I don't think he's here. I don't know if he's here yet, but he'll be on standby in case something happens.
Yes, in case something happens with Gaethje and Nurmagomedov. But yeah, it would have been great to see him fight Tony Ferguson. I think that would have been such a good fight. But yeah, seeing him against Hooker would be great as well. I think that would be quite a fun fight.
I think Chandler versus any top 5, top 7, top 8 guy, that's all that matters.
I agree.
That's all we want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I want to see Chandler in the UFC cage, the Makhachev fight just didn't do it for me, even though I know people are talking about Islam Makhachev. I just don't see that as like his first fight.
I get it. I get why people wanted it, just because he's training partners with Habib. Even if he beats his training partner, that could set this, plant the seeds and this and that. But I don't think the UFC would have done that anyway.
Cool.
Anyway, Chandler Hooker or Chandler Felder is who I want.
Yep.
How do you see Dern versus Jandaroba going? Man, I haven't even begun to think about this. So, of course, Mackenzie Dern is fighting Jandaroba, who is, they're two of the absolute best jiu-jitsu practitioners, not just in the female strawweight division, but in all the UFC. Casey, you got all hyped up. What do you think about this scrap?
I absolutely love it. I love to be wrong, but I'm shocked that the UFC booked this fight. I'm shocked that Mackenzie Dern agreed to this fight, because I think Jandaroba is just a better all-around mixed martial artist. Maybe in a pure jiu-jitsu, maybe Dern might win, but I think Jandaroba is – actually, I think she's the dark horse in the strawweight division. I would not be surprised if we see Jandaroba by the end of 2021 fighting for the UFC title. I don't know if she'll win, but I just think she's spectacular, and But I'm a big fan of Jandaroba.
Jade, are you in agreement?
I agree. And I just think we haven't seen someone who can challenge Mackenzie on the ground. So that would be really interesting to see. And I think Mackenzie, then, like, she's gaining a lot of momentum now. So I think this fight will be really good for her as well. And if she wins, she's going to prove such a big point. So I think, you know, this is a great fight for both of them. For sure.
Yeah, and I know rankings are silly, but I'm pretty sure they're 13-14 in the rankings, so it would make sense on paper. I love this scrap.
Yeah.
With Kayla Harrison possibly leaving PFL after her latest lawsuit against him, you guys think she goes over to Bellator? Doesn't she fight at 155, Casey?
She fights 155, but I'm pretty confident with a little strict. Yeah, she's a big woman, but I don't think I really don't look at her and see and think 45 is out of the question for her. I think just because
I agree.
I think just because she had opportunity at 55, why not? But obviously, if the PFL thing just dissolves, Bellator, please sign Kayla Harrison. And UFC, just get rid of your 45 division, put all the ladies in Bellator, and let's just get them all in one group. That's all I want to see.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care where it is, but Kayla Harrison versus Cyborg is an awesome scrap. Yep. But on the flip side, Kayla Harrison versus Amanda Nunes is also an awesome scrap.
Both
of them, either one.
Ooh. You know it's an awesome scrap. You know it's an awesome scrap. Cyborg versus Nunes too.
Imagine if they were still in the same promotion, Casey. Oh my god, it's gonna haunt me forever.
All right, a couple more.
I would like to see that rematch though. That would have been so good.
Yes,
I was shocked. I didn't expect it to be that dominant. I really thought,
I'm sorry, go on.
Oh no, I was just saying. I really thought it was gonna, she was gonna be challenged a lot more than that. I thought it was gonna be a real back and forth. So I was quite, I was quite surprised.
See, but
Guillermo did that article where he asked all the Brazilian fighters, and like 90% of them picked Cyborg to win.
Really?
But
wow.
I thought the Cyborg's opponent, Glencow, she talked about that fight, Cyborg versus Nunes. I thought she said something, which I believe too, because you said that fight was dominant, and it was dominant since that it ended quickly, but it was because of the way Cyborg chose to fight. It's like basically she made it a coin flip fight, and I really believe that if they would have done a full-on trilogy, it could have been as exciting as DC versus Stipe. If you just go in the first fight, you would think, oh, DC's going to beat Stipe 99 of 100 times. That was a dominant victory. This is MMA. We talked about it earlier, one mistake. And Cyborg made that one strategic mistake. It's like, oh, you punch me, I'm going to punch you back harder. And to me, that was the only way Cyborg was going to lose in that fashion was to let's just throw hooks in the pocket. Yeah.
Look at Kane JDS is the same thing.
Yeah.
Like it's these fights that like Kane gets destroyed in the first fight and then just beats the soul out of JDS in 2 and 3. So you're not wrong.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting Cyborg rolls through Amanda Nunes in a rematch. I just think they're such high level fighters that you throw that, you run that one back. That's all.
For sure.
I agree.
Do, do, do. Yeah.
Is there any more, Casey? I know we went a little over time, but we're all friends here.
All right. Let's just talk about the big news of the day.
What was the holdup on Jan Sterling? Well, I think we can all agree that the UFC was probably waiting for the outcome of Marlon Moraes versus Corey Sandhagen. If Marlon had won pretty spectacularly, they probably would have made the fight make Jan versus Moraes, since they were supposed to fight in Kazakhstan anyway, and Marlon beat Aldo, so maybe they were waiting for that. But literally, a couple days after the fight, they announced the fight. We're in agreement, right? Right, Jade. First, we're all in agreement.
Yeah, no, 100%. But I'm just glad that they finally announced it because, you see Sterling literally every day he's pushing for these fights. So it's great to see that he's finally getting that opportunity, for sure. Good to see it's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense, that the UFC was waiting for to see if Marlon beat Sandhagen, and maybe just because they literally already had a contract. It's like, hey, we can save the paperwork. We don't have to hire lawyers, make a new contract. We have it right here. We just got to put title fight at the top. Sure. Yeah, maybe that it was simple as that. just trying to save a little, administration work. But Sandhagen won. Threw those matchmaking plans out the window, and so we got the fight, and I'm super excited, and I'm very excited the UFC put the ladies above him too. That's pretty cool, but give them the shine. Yay, they're gonna fight.
Finally. Is that it on questions, Casey?
That's it.
I know we went a little time, and that is it for another episode of the A-Side Live Chat here on MMAfighting.com. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for joining us 30 minutes late. I know media day went a little long, but now that this stream is over, you can go watch all the interviews I did at media day, because they're great. Brian Ortega was awesome. Korean Zombie said Reebok was stupid. Cyril Gane didn't show up because his fight is all of a sudden out. So I think it was all around a pretty good media day. It just went all along. But of course, Jade, I don't know if you know the drill, but the drill is you are the guest of honor. You get the closing remarks to say, plug, comment, talk about whatever you want before we sign off.
Oh, wow. The pressure.
The pressure.
What can we talk about? My closing comments.
Yeah. What are you working on now, Jay?
Anything you want.
Yeah, anything.
You're in a movie, right? Tell us about what movie you're in.
Yes. So I was just in a short film, which was a boxing film called Shadow Boxer. And I'm so excited because it just won the Audience Film Awards 2020,
wow,
which was really exciting. So hopefully it will come out soon and you guys can see it. But yeah, it was really fun. And we filmed it there was actually like a live boxing fight going on when we did it. So we actually had like a live boxing crowd, and literally in the interval, we filmed an entire like short film. And we had like, it was literally like theater. We had to do it at a specific time for when the main card started. So it was, it was quite crazy to do, but it was like, it just came out so great. And I just can't wait for everyone to see it. So it's very exciting. And we actually have a real boxer in it as well. So it was actually based off a true story, and he's called Chris Evangelo. So I won't give too much away, but yeah, he's really, really good in it. So I can't wait for people to see it.
Casey, is this the first movie star we've had on the A-side?
Ooh. Movie star.
I don't know if Big E has been in movies. I don't know if Shane Helms has been in movies. They didn't talk about it. But thank you so much, Jade. I know we will have you back. I know maybe Mike Heck will have you on Between the Links, and you can challenge the reigning champion, Phoenix Carnival, in the future. But for Jose, that is Casey. That is Jade. You can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasts. But until next week, we're out.
Wear a mask and register to vote.
Wear a mask, people.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.